Deep into the hours of night, something wakes you. Your eyes flutter open as you regain consciousness, but your still, resting body remains heavy and unmoving. You know you're alone, but you suddenly feel someone or something else in the room. The overbearing presence grows more foreboding with each moment, and it seems to take form before your eyes. The form can only be described as a thick, dark shadow. The opaque humanoid figure staring right at you, watching from across the room, is hard to make out, but you know it's there, ever so slightly darker than the night, and holding you down by its will alone. Panic sets in as you attempt to hang on to any logic. This is becoming a regular occurrence. Some nights, the figure is even easier to make out. You close your eyes and try to calm yourself back to sleep. It will go away. It always does. But it doesn't go far. These experiences are so notably common, and the accounts so eerily similar, that both the paranormal and scientific communities have issued several theories. This is Fright Life, a paranormal podcast, and this episode is about shadow people.
Hello everyone, welcome to Fright Life. We're your hosts, Joss and Monique Rose.
Hello. We've been away a while.
It's been a minute.
We were just building the suspense. And you come back and you log on to whatever you're listening to us on, and the person who answers says, Fright Life has been dead for 100 years.
We're sorry. We're sorry that we've been away. We've missed you all dearly. But we are back with an extra creepy episode. We're going to talk about shadow people.
So, the definition, the official definition of a shadow person.
Wait. A fish?
Yeah.
Definish?
Yeah, okay. The official definition, or a fish definish. No, I won't be. That's not going to be a thing.
Of I'm shadow making a t-shirt design right now.
I refuse. It just felt bad. Like
It feels bad saying it.
Don't say it. Yeah.
Don't.
Okay. But really, let's get into this because it is creepy.
Okay. I'm ready. Official death.
I think we're preemptively. This is a preemptive defense mechanism so that we don't scare ourselves too much to go to sleep tonight.
It really is. And like, we're recording this, it's pretty late. I have work in the morning, so it's gonna be, I'm gonna crash out immediately after this, and
I will just lie there terrified.
You'll be awake.
Yeah, so that'll
the shadow
fun.
People. Okay.
No, fuck you.
Okay. Please define.
Okay, a shadow person, also known as a shadow figure, shadow being, or black mass, is the perception of a patch of shadow as a living humanoid figure, and interpreted as the presence of a spirit or other entity by believers in the paranormal.
That's us.
Yeah, that's us, and maybe you guys,
hopefully.
I feel like.
I mean, if you're here.
Right.
That's interesting.
Right, so by the paranormal community, it's been attributed to spirits, evil beings, interdimensional beings.
Mm-hmm.
By the scientific community, it's a little different. But we have checked into both of those things.
Yeah, we straight up Mulder and Scullied this one.
We did.
It's we've got the logic side and the paranormal side.
I wouldn't put those two things as antonyms if we're trying to make any kind of case for being a paranormal believer, but
that's not
like the accepted logic.
So. Right. Okay. Yeah. 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 There's a couple of things real quick that I wanted to touch on that I found pretty interesting in my research. Right out of the gate, shadow people have been reported throughout history as a thing. So even before the psychological community got involved in trying to put a real definition on what this is and what causes it and things like that, people have been seeing these literally since people have been able to document what they've been seeing.
Right. Well, and it can be interpreted as many different things. Like, we see things kind of around everywhere in the corner of our eye. You know, we'll see something kind of move in the distance and look over and not really know. Is it light play, right? Because that could be...
Right.
Is it a ghost? Like, some people just think, oh, that's a ghost, like a shadowy figure. Sure. Some people associate them with more demonic or evil entities. What's interesting is, and what I covered in the introduction narrative, mm-hmm. is more linked to the sleep paralysis aspect of this, where a lot of people are experiencing these things nightly. And that is what science really has latched on to trying to explain.
Mm-hmm.
Because these are symptoms of something, is what their
sure.
conclusion is. But that doesn't negate kind of the rest of it. Even if that were true, mm-hmm. and science explained this phenomenon, and we'll touch more on exactly how they explained it and what their definition of this is or their theory on this is, there are still other types of these shadow figures being seen all over the place.
Right, yeah. It's not just cases where people are experiencing sleep paralysis.
Right.
I mean, in my office, I had to remove that framed picture that I had hanging above my computer screen because I kept seeing something walking back and forth behind me, and it was freaking me out.
Ew. Okay, don't tell me stuff specifically about the apartment before bed, after shadow people
but,
episode.
You know, that. I mean, it could have been just a trick of the light or something,
right.
But it was every time I would glance up and it would catch my eye, it was very clearly the shape of a person walking behind me.
Well, that's creepy.
Then came with that feeling of like, oh my God, what is that? Like, mm-hmm. you know, the kind of tingly starts at the top of your head and goes down to your middle of your back kind of fear thing.
So do you want to cover sleep paralysis and the scientific aspect of it first?
Yeah, let's dive into that.
Okay. So...
But I want to circle back to that because I have some things I want to discuss with you about. Like, it's kind of like a chicken or the egg type of situation, but...
With the paranormal?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. So, I've experienced sleep paralysis a couple of times. Have you ever experienced?
I haven't.
Okay.
I'm such a heavy sleeper, like, I crash out, well, and I'm good to go until it's time to wake up.
Yeah, so the first time I experienced sleep paralysis, and it's not a regular thing for me, it was years between the two, and they were both pretty short-lived. I did kind of, like, partially fall asleep, and we lived in a not-so-great area, and I think I may have mentioned this, actually, in a different episode.
Was this the Flavel house?
Yes.
Okay.
And you had gone to play Dungeons and Dragons, and...
I'm not ashamed of it.
Okay. yeah. And left me alone in a terrible neighborhood at night. And we were, what, like 20? Maybe 20. And I had, like, had the TV on and just sort of lightly drifted off to sleep. Like, the lights were still on and everything. And woke up feeling, very weighed down. But I had just fallen asleep, so I wasn't in any... I didn't think I was in any deep sleep. I thought it was like a minute had gone by.
Okay.
And couldn't move.
So this was not a sensation of like just being so cozy and like sunken into the bed that you're like, oh my God, I'm so...
No. Okay. That's maybe how it started, where I like just was so... My body was just weighed down. And then I consciously tried to move my body and could not. Only my eyes could move.
Okay.
And so I was looking all around and getting panicked that I couldn't move. That's right. Just a panic thing to feel. And so I did not see any shadow people, and I didn't feel necessarily like someone else was in the room,
mm-hmm.
or a spirit or a demon holding me down, like some people report. I felt like I was just very aware of myself. So it was my own consciousness watching myself panic.
Interesting.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
And
is that like a borderline, like, out of body experience?
Yeah,
almost,
it was
kind of?
I wasn't necessarily watching myself. It was just that my level of consciousness, like, was definitely separate from my body reactions.
Like, it sounds like that you were like about to astral project.
I think we did talk about that.
Yeah.
After it happened, like, forever ago. Yeah, and then I kind of panicked and stopped myself from that.
Yeah.
So I don't know if anyone else experiences that instead of the, like, being weighed down. Like, my body was definitely weighed down, but my mind was not. But it did shoot me into some panic, like, wait, what's happening? This is not normal.
Yeah. So just real quick for anybody who's not familiar with the term astral projecting, it's a sort of state of consciousness where you're... it's like your consciousness
from your body.
Leaves your physical form. And a lot of people who are able to do this or on purpose or it happens to them on accident, it's just you get into this state of mind and they report, like, I can see myself mm-hmm. lying in the bed. And there are people that are so good at it that they can, like, travel.
Yeah. I have never attempted that. I didn't study it. It was not anything on my mind at the time. I wasn't even that aware of... I don't think we were doing anything really paranormal there.
No.
That house that we lived in was actually pretty spooky.
Mm-hmm.
I was sick in that house a lot.
Yeah.
And there was not necessarily noisy paranormal activity, but there was a very heavy presence in the house. Someone had committed suicide there.
I remember seeing people, like, peeking around the corners at... me and stuff there. That was a weird...
I wasn't scared of the house. The house was... It was just... Like, I wasn't scared to be there alone.
Yeah.
It was just heavy. And I felt ill mm-hmm. all the time. Which is a sign of paranormal
right.
presence.
Yeah.
It can be if it's, like, a negative thing. But it just felt kind of heavy and sorrowful there. So we kind of lightened up on any kind of investigating while we were there. We didn't want to stir anything up. And we were kind of busy, like, working, trying to get things sorted out, like, starting off our life and everything. But, yeah, the house had some history. But, yeah, I wouldn't say that I attempted to do that at all. It caught me off guard, for mm-hmm. sure. And I kind of panicked myself back into, you know, my normal state, where
yeah.
I just was able to finally calm down and breathe. And then I remember being able to move my hand first. And then once I could feel my hand... the rest of me, like, calmed down.
Okay.
So that is something that could be psychological, but it's also linked to something biological and perfectly explainable.
Mm-hmm.
So when your body goes into REM sleep, and this is where science thinks that they explain sleep paralysis.
Right.
And they do, but maybe not all of the things that come along with it. When your body goes into REM sleep, your dreams can be very vivid. So your brain has a switch in it,
mm-hmm.
specifically designed to turn off your motor function, your larger motor function, while you are having these dreams, so that you do not endanger yourself by acting out these vivid dreams.
Got it.
So you essentially are paralyzed in a way. And so there are times where people wake up and this is just a small little malfunction where your consciousness wakes up before, you know, and it doesn't trick that switch back on for a few minutes or, you know, probably like a few seconds, but
right.
it feels like a long time. Because if you ever just sit for even 30 seconds of nothing, it's a lot longer than you think it is.
Right.
So that's a very explainable scenario. And we know that that happens. The interesting aspect of this is... all of the paranormal, the ones linked to the paranormal,
mm-hmm.
are seeing people in the room.
Right.
Shadow figures lurking in the corners, people holding them down. They explain it as they're weighed down specifically on their chest or being held down. So science is trying to say, your brain, because you are paralyzed at that moment, you set into panic, which paralyzes you more, is that, you know, fight, flight, or freeze, mm-hmm. and you freeze even further into that. And then your brain tries to make sense of it by creating something holding you down.
Okay.
So it's a psychological response, and your brain is trying to matrix this all together. Like, right. Oh, I'm being held down. I must be physically being held down by someone. But then you're still kind of asleep, and you don't envision a full person, so you can only come up with a shadow.
Okay.
Type of thing. But it's just so strange that it would be so widely experienced,
yeah.
and happen the exact same way. And then you think, why can't my brain come up with these things if it's all fantastical or psychological, you know, your brain's piecing these things together to explain a story. While you sleep, you come up with some of the craziest, most detailed things.
Yeah, that's
true, for sure. So why would it just be a shadow at that point? Like, suddenly your imagination and your consciousness aren't, like, working.
Right. So, why is it doing a shadow and not a velociraptor?
Yeah.
Like,
you'd think you'd be able to maybe come up with that.
Yeah.
A little more
detailed.
That's
a really good point. That's interesting.
There's also, besides the connection of the shadow people,
mm-hmm.
A specific character present in a lot of these accounts, and that is of the Hat Man.
Yeah, that's really something that stands out as a too big of a coincidence to be just something that, oh yeah, your mind is... So if you're not familiar with the Hat Man, well, okay, let's back up a little bit. So the kind of base defining features of the shadow people in general. Mostly humanoid
looking, black mask.
Darker than dark.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes described as being sort of hazy,
mm-hmm.
like smoke almost.
Yeah.
But
dark.
With form.
Right.
Sometimes red eyes.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's the Hat Man,
mm-hmm.
who generally is larger.
Taller, stands closer.
Yeah, he gets right up in your face.
Yeah.
And he's wearing what looks like a wide-brim fedora hat.
Flat top.
And that is just such a strange detail.
Right.
Like, why that hat? Unless it's specifically this being, or... Like, it almost seems like it has to be one specific being.
Yeah. Why would a group, I don't know. Yeah, why would a group of people, that's just like their uniform.
Yeah.
This particular group.
It's strange.
No, it seems weird. And a lot of people associate him with like a harbinger of doom or death, or maybe he is death,
mm-hmm.
or there's something. But linked to that. But also there is a Hat Man present in the voodoo.
Right.
Like history.
Yeah.
And their lore. But even now, like, I don't scare easily,
mm-hmm.
and I have full chills just the moment I mentioned the Hat Man, and I've never seen him.
Right.
You know, I've never thought I've seen him or dreamt about him or had any specific fears of this. And I'm someone who, I mean, like, Freddy Krueger, all of that stuff when I was 7 to,
mm-hmm.
You know, I don't scare easily.
Right.
I'm all pins and needles and tingly right now.
Oh, yeah.
Just mentioning his name.
Yeah, I think
or is that his name? I don't know. Mentioning the, you know, and I don't know what it is. It just seems so creepy.
So there's some of the stories that I was reading about this guy, character, creature, whatever he is that it's almost like he's the boss or like the,
mm-hmm.
you know, he's kind of in charge. And some of the accounts are that, you know, the person wakes up. They can't move. Something is very wrong. And as they start to look around the room, they're seeing shadow people standing around the room.
Yeah.
And not moving, just like observing. And then the Hat Man comes in and he gets close and he's like standing directly over and he never interacts or anything, but it's almost like he's like feeding off of that terror.
Extracting something from you.
Yeah. It's got that kind of like...
Yeah.
Like he's...
Boring
like,
into...
Yeah.
Yeah. Into your soul.
And there's... another thing that I was reading is people experience like high ear-piercing ringing in their ears.
Mm-hmm.
And when he gets real close in your face, they almost hear what sounds like television static.
Okay, also, I have heard an account, and I wish I had more information because I'm just, like, authentically remembering this, that you just said television static. Sure. And in some of my research where I was viewing some documentaries on shadow people, somebody, well, it might have not even been about shadow people. Sorry. Okay, but someone described beings entering their room in the middle of the night. It may have been a UFO documentary. And that the humanoid figures were like TV static.
Yeah.
The actual beings themselves were like glitching out and like that black and white peppery TV static. So that's weird.
So that to me sounds like extra dimensional beings.
Yeah.
We've talked about them a few times, but the theory that I have about the extra dimensional beings is that they are just so abstract that our puny monkey brains,
our ant minds,
can't figure out what that is. So it's kind of like matrixing where we assign a stand-in for that.
Right.
Right? So
and we just can't conceptualize it.
Yeah. And so at that point, it's just like, this doesn't make any sense. This is just static to my brain. And it just...
So it's in something else entirely. It's just the human perception of these things are that void or that static.
Yeah.
And they're interdimensional and they're visiting in the night to extract some kind of information.
Man, I just... The thing that's most terrifying about aliens, otherworldly beings, extra-dimensional type things is that we can't possibly comprehend what their motives are or what they're doing here.
Yeah, I don't like that.
That freaks me out. It's like people in animal costumes. Like, I can't... I don't know what you're looking at right now.
Yeah.
And it freaks me out.
Do you know what I realized freaked me out? I was hoping you would come back, but there was a commercial on when we were watching Handmaid's Tale. And I don't even know what the commercial was for because it was so distracting. And I can't even decide, or I can't even figure out what you would call this. But you know when people are dressed up, like imagine, you're going to see it exactly, I know all of you will. If someone's dressed as like something, a card from a deck of cards.
Okay.
Like as a costume.
Yeah.
But like fully covered, like the card, and they have like a jumpsuity thing on underneath, and their face is also painted white, and they're like in the card, and their face pokes out. That freaks me out so bad. I don't know why.
I know exactly what
it's
you're talking about.
It's just off-putting, and I hate it.
Especially if they're very still at first, and then they move, and it's like, that shouldn't be moving. Like, that wigs me out.
I don't like
it. I totally got that.
I just saw something out of the corner of my eye. So... That's the thing. So I think those things, those are ghosts.
Mm-hmm.
Not that that 100% was a ghost that just happened. I've been actually having kind of blurred vision today. But I think there are a lot of different explanations for the shadow people. And I think that they're not all in that shadow people box, right?
Okay.
So we mentioned science explaining sleep paralysis and the panic that sets in and that maybe we're creating the beings in our minds. Because a lot of the sleep paralysis, even when people experience the shadow people and it's more of the paranormal thing, their physical experiences sound like panic attack symptoms.
Right.
Which if I was suddenly unable to move, I would have a panic attack. Let me tell you, I had an epidural when giving birth. It was too high. I didn't know there were levels you could set this. The doctors did not tell me this. And I had fallen asleep because it was a long, like, 16 hours? And I woke up in the middle of the night and could not feel my legs, which is, of course, you know, what the epidural is for, but I don't know. I didn't expect it. And the doctor was holding my foot, and I couldn't, like, holding my foot, and I couldn't feel that happening.
Right.
And I had a full-blown panic attack in labor.
Yeah. Well, that's a weird sensation.
Right.
I've had that too when I had surgery. Well, my labor was very quick. I had surgery on my leg and they numbed my leg. Instead, I wasn't put out. They just numbed my leg to do the surgery. I was fully awake. But the sensation of like, I couldn't feel it at all.
Mm-hmm.
Like I started to freak out.
And yeah.
It took the doctor going like, it's okay. It's normal. Like, I know it feels weird, but, you know, just realize this is what's happening.
Right, but panic sets in because it's, you can't.
Your body is like, what is happening right now?
Things, right.
Yeah.
So that makes sense to me, though. Okay. The scientific aspect of this, that small portion of this makes sense to me. I would not look someone in the face who has experienced sleep paralysis plus the paranormal side of things and say, it's definitely psychological.
Right.
You created that in your mind. It doesn't make it any less real to them and scary. I'm not fully shutting the door on the possibility that maybe the presence of those... Jesus fucking Christ! What did you just do?
Something just tapped my shoulder.
You scared me so bad.
Something just tapped my shoulder.
It wasn't the cord from your headphones?
No, it was like back here. The cord is in front of my body.
You cannot even keep this audio because I freaked out like bad.
I'll bleep it. We'll fix it in post.
Are you kidding? Because now I don't even feel good. That isn't even exciting. You should... Oh, that's Hamilton.
That's the hamster.
Wouldn't Potter be aware of it? Did you wake up when I tried to wake you up the other night and he was just sitting on my chest growling at something in the hallway? Like low growling. He never growls.
Yeah. I got up and looked. Remember?
Oh, yeah. I checked out. You tried you tried to go back to sleep.
I got my samurai sword and I went and checked it out.
Okay. Well, what... Okay, if something is in here with us, someone is in here with us, please keep your distance.
We're working on a project right now.
We're very busy.
Please don't poke me.
Don't scare us, please. If you need something, you can speak clearly into the microphones and we'll be able to hear you. Is there just going to be stuff that happens every time now?
It's just because we're talking about it.
No, now I'm like, this is freezing cold right here.
Yeah, I'm all cold over here too.
What? So there's more than one thing? Come and feel my leg. And I'm hot. Like, I have a hot water bottle on my body.
Okay. Just to reiterate, this is our home. You are welcome to be here, but you are not allowed to touch us. You are not allowed to scare us. If your intentions are any sort of menacing or negative at all, you can leave right now.
I kind of don't feel like it is, though. It was only your reaction that freaked me out.
Well, that scared the shit out of me.
Even like with it being cold right here, it doesn't feel like...
Maybe they're just saying sorry. It's like a calming...
Yeah, but what? How did it tap you? What were we talking about?
I don't... We're going to have to like go back.
I freaked out. Like I yelled at you. I was mad.
I'm really excited to hear.
But that's like when someone suddenly looks behind you and looks like shocked.
Yeah.
That was not fun.
It was extra because I was already on pins and needles from talking about what we were talking about.
Yeah. Maybe this person who's in here with us knows the answer.
Maybe they do.
Okay, well, you could be a guest on our podcast. The mic's all yours. Joss's mic.
I feel like this is you standing right here.
Mm-mm. Potter, you're not a very good Ghostbuster if you can't tell if there's a being in here. That's Potter exiting the room. Unimpressed by all of these shenanigans. So let's just give it another second and sit with this.
Okay. Everybody do some cleansing breaths.
Was that Potter?
Yes.
God damn it, Potter.
Potter's going into Olivia's room right now. Changed his mind.
Okay, Potter, figure it out. We're trying to talk to the ghost.
Can you get a job, please?
If there's a ghost in here, if there's a person in here, or a being, you're welcome to talk to us. You cannot harm us. Please speak into the microphone. We're going to give you a minute. Okay, that was, again, Potter just disrupting this entire scientific investigation. Okay. Are you sure something touched you? I wish we had that on video.
I'm just staring at her with... all of the disdain right now.
Well, I'm just... It's like the number one question you have to check.
Are you sure? Yeah, no. Right, like, on my...
You're positive it left. Was not the cord.
No, because it was behind
headphones.
Me. My cord is going over my left shoulder, down to the floor, in front of my body.
Mm-hmm.
The tap happened on the back of my left shoulder. Okay. Like, somebody was here... And just went, tap, tap.
Okay. I mean, that is kind of weird, because the thing that I thought I saw in the corner of my eye, just casually was just on your side of the room, like 8 feet away from where you're sitting.
I just have so many chills right now.
I know. Like, okay, so
I'm not editing any of this out, by the way.
No, you have
just,
to.
Potter is just...
I don't even know what we were talking
okay.
about.
Okay, so here's the thing. This is what I wanted to circle back to in the beginning, because the science behind it says that this is a...
Just lay down. We need to have a show. Like, this needs to be all recorded, because Potter was just a ghost, like, under my blanket, but his little... He was a dachshund-shaped sheet ghost just now. Okay.
Just all huffing and puffing about it, too.
Okay.
Okay. So this is what I wanted to circle back to when I said that earlier in the show. The science behind it says when you experience the sleep paralysis and you wake up, your body goes into a panic state and then you manifest these shadows, right? But my initial problem with that is that your body would react the same if the shadow person is there.
Right. So that's what I do whenever there's anything creepy going on is I freeze. The fight or flight thing, like, it's a lot of people leave out that freeze response,
mm-hmm.
and that is my natural inclination every time.
Right.
So, right, it is that which came first that you mentioned.
Yeah, is it the shadow people causing the panic attack, or the panic attack causing the shadow people?
Right.
And I feel like a lot of the paranormal experiences that people have could be explained away with science saying, oh, this is your brain doing this, reacting this way because of these circumstances.
Mm-hmm.
But it, like, almost every time could go the other way. So then it's just like, which camp are you in?
Also, what's interesting, what's causing that mechanism in their brain to malfunction at that time.
Right.
If there's, like, suddenly a presence that's waking you unnaturally
mm-hmm.
out of your slumber.
Yeah, why are you waking up in the first place?
From that REM sleep.
Right.
Because that usually doesn't happen that way.
Exactly.
So what if they are in there and that's the factor that's waking you up without triggering that biological safety button?
Right. That's exactly
Ooh,
that.
Interesting.
I need to...
I feel like I'm onto something with that theory.
I think that's right on the money. That's what the difference is.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's... I think you nailed it right there.
I mean, you did. I just, like, put the cherry on top.
We team efforted that one, for sure.
We're so smart. Well, I also think shadow people can be defined in another way. Or there's another kind of character at play
mm-hmm.
that fits into the category. And that's where you mentioned this has been happening forever,
mm-hmm.
Is the story of, or the lore of the succubus.
Okay.
Who would come, like, in the night.
Right.
And feed off of your energy, and
well,
you
that,
would sort of be paralyzed in your bed.
Yeah. I mean, that fits the bill.
Right.
For sure.
Right. So the incubus and succubus, so the incubus is the male version.
Okay.
And the succubus is the female version
mm-hmm.
of these demon figures mm-hmm. who will enter the rooms of sleeping people. And their thing, though, is to take your life force, and also there's, like, sexual activity related to these things.
So, spooky and sexy.
So I don't know if that was more of just trying to explain, like, sexy dreams. And then someone's like, nope, that must have been a demon responsible for this, because it is, you know...
Those thoughts are impure.
The 18th century,
yeah.
And that is not okay. So maybe that was just...
Well, when they talk about the incubus and succubus, what do they look like?
Demonic, dark figures. Well, the succubus is said to be, like, a beautiful, like, alluring figure, because she's got to, like...
That's how they get you.
Right. So
every
I
time.
Don't know. I'm not falling for it. I don't really subscribe to that one. I feel like that's more of, like, centuries old lack of sexual awakening of society. Anyway, I think that was more of a prudish idea.
Yeah.
To explain nightly, like, ooh, that was fun. That was a little fun dream. And someone's like, sir.
Wow, I never.
You were alone, and this is indecent. No, I wasn't alone. There was a beautiful creature in here who seduced me. And that explains...
You're making it worse, Bill.
That explains everything. Why is his name Bill?
William.
It is William for sure. Sir William.
Sir William, who was visited by the succubus.
Yeah. She's responsible for all of it, that demonic temptress. So that's kind of what I feel like that falls into.
So here's something else that I want to talk about real quick. I have a distinct memory of working the day / morning after New Year's Eve. And at the time...
New Year's Day?
Yeah, but it was kind of all one, like, run-on thing. Like, okay. I went to work New Year's Eve day, got off work, and this was when I was working, like, the 3 a.m. to 2 p.m. shift.
Ugh.
Something like that, whatever that was. Got off work, came home, we set up for the New Year's Eve party, we partied, and then I went to work the next morning. So I was awake for like 36 hours or something like that. Just like crazy, been awake for a while.
Okay.
And I distinctly remember on my way home after my second shift of being awake straight through, it was dark out. So maybe I was on my way to work.
But you left our New Year's Eve party. Well, people were still here at the house.
Okay.
And you left.
Right. So I was very tired and just out of it. And I specifically remember driving down the highway to, you know, in the direction of my work. So I wasn't actually on the freeway or anything. There was still like buildings around me and city, other cars and people and stuff, right? So I come to a stop sign and I distinctly remember seeing a shadow crossing the street in front of me. And I'm 100%, it was not a person because there was still streetlights around. So mm-hmm. if it was a person, I would have been able to see, like...
The person.
Definitely, that's a person. Yeah. So, one of the things that I am interested in is there a point at which your mind is so tired that you're hallucinating things? Or...
Yes.
Or...
Okay, but yes.
Yes, for sure.
And...
But is it a hallucination? Or... Are you just entering a state of mind that you are now able to perceive these things more clearly?
Whoa.
Because
your logical thought is not, like, shutting those ideas down.
Right. So that, I mean, this is opening kind of a can of worms here. But there's a whole thing about...
Sorry. This can of worms just says kind of can of worms. Like, there's a Sharpie written over the...
Kind of worms? Question mark? So there's this whole thing about little kids, in general, being able to see paranormal things.
Yes.
Clearly, right? And over time, your brain is just sort of programmed to be like, that's not real. Shut that down.
Right.
And so we stop being able to perceive it at some point. But even like Olivia is 9 years old and she won't go in the bathroom by herself because there's something in there or in that area of the house specifically that freaks her out and mm-hmm. she won't talk about it, but I'm pretty sure she sees something.
It scares me the most that she's not like a baby about it. She'll just be like, hey, I need you to come down the hallway with me because I have to go to the restroom. And when I ask her about it, she just tears up silently and will not talk about it.
Yeah.
Like, that's a trauma response.
Mm-hmm.
And I hate that she won't tell me.
Right. And so as parents, we try to genuinely tell Olivia, like, listen, this is something that we're interested in. We fully believe it. So if you ever have an experience or you see something, tell us and we will never be judgmental. We want to talk through it with you. We want to help you figure out what it was. And we'll try to explain it scientifically. And if we can't, then what's left is what's left. But for some reason, and she's talked about stuff that she's experienced at the school mm-hmm. too. But for some reason, it's just this one thing she refuses to like open up about. It's very strange.
Yeah, I don't like it. It freaks me out.
So building back on what I was saying a minute ago, there are a lot of these people reporting shadow people activity that had a history of substance abuse. And that just makes me wonder if they've sort of chemically altered their brain to be more
open
to seeing these things. Because I've had, personally, more than my fair share of seeing things peeking around the corner at me, or like just out of the corner of my eye kind of thing, right? But on that night specifically, when I was in a state of just absolute delirium.
I'm glad you were driving.
It's probably safe.
Yeah, let's not do that anymore.
Well, I work from home now, so my commute is usually fairly safe.
Okay.
Except I full on.
You have to pass that part of the hallway that Olivia doesn't like, so that's still dicey.
I full on saw like a shadow person cross the street in front of me.
You've never told me that before. That's really cool.
And I just don't know if that's something that I really struggle with, is like, was I hallucinating that, or was my mind just in a state where it was capable of viewing that?
Interesting.
And then, you know, that is a whole other page of like, are people that can see spirits or see people who have passed or see other beings, are they just in that state of mind all the time? And that's just something that, you know, they didn't, I guess, grow out of when they were a kid. You know what I mean?
Yeah. We'll cover that, I think, in a whole different thing. Like, people with, like, extra perception,
mm-hmm.
abilities.
I think that would be an absolutely fascinating episode right. to talk about.
And we shall.
Hmm.
Probably in multiple episodes, because there are different types of...
Yeah. Or, like, yeah, it's like a two-parter. That.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So... Yeah, I definitely think that all of this is accurate. I think the science makes sense about the sleep paralysis
mm-hmm.
specifically. But I don't think that negates that there's a paranormal aspect at play with other things, or just present in some of the accounts.
Yeah.
Or like you driving and seeing a shadow person. So that's a different type of thing, because they're not in your room. You're not being weighed down. You're out and you're driving, and this shadow person is freely walking about
mm-hmm.
the environment, and it's not impeding on your space in your bedroom in the middle of the night.
Right.
So is that a different type of entity entirely?
Yeah.
That's more like that's a ghost who just, it doesn't have the full corporeal form, so
yeah.
it just comes across as a mist or a shadow. So I think that
there's definitely
a mix of what type
yeah.
of shadow person, or what that really is, but...
So you've got a foot in each camp then.
Yeah, got a lot of feet going on.
Yeah, I'm definitely on board with the shadow people thing. The thing that always bothers me is when science just kind of explains it away as like a syndrome, or, you know.
Yeah, but that's their job. So if all of these symptoms are happening at the same time, and psychology is, we can't be good paranormal investigators and completely negate the science of psychology and the power of somebody's mind to create things.
Sure.
Because that is an aspect at play. That's why I'll preface things by saying, you know, when it seems more compelling when something happens when I'm just like sitting watching TV
mm-hmm.
than when we're like telling scary stories.
Right.
Because your brain gets amped up for things. That doesn't mean that something scary and paranormal can't happen while we are, like, doing these podcasts, for instance.
Mm-hmm.
But it seems more compelling when you're just out, like, you know, I wasn't considering anything paranormal. I was at the grocery store, you know, counting how many whatever
yeah.
I needed. And this crazy ghost story happened.
Sure.
Instead of, like, we were out in the woods
yeah.
telling campfire stories. And suddenly, you know, like, that's... Because your brain can
yeah.
create things and, you know, prime yourself to be ready to kind of jump at anything and explain it away. But
are you, at that point, when you're in the mode of, like, telling ghost stories and or talking about paranormal things, are you subconsciously opening your mind up to that and becoming a beacon for these things to be like, oh, I can see that guy now. I'm going to go and interact with him because his...
Like, he's ready to hear me?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that, but I don't think they, it has to be one or the other. I do think we need to kind of check ourselves.
Sure.
You know, what was I thinking? What was I doing?
Yeah.
What was my mind trying to come up with? What was I, you know?
Yeah.
Because that can happen in anything, even if I'm just like worried about something.
Yeah.
You can calm yourself down. And that doesn't mean that that worry still isn't there. It just means that you're able to logically pick it apart. And we want to do that even in paranormal.
I agree. Incidents. 100%. I just want to make sure, because the frustrating thing is that we want to be open to both sides of the discussion. We want to say, oh yeah, well, the psychology of it is this XYZ. But if we had a psychologist in the room with us, they wouldn't be like, okay, well, I could also consider that.
Well, maybe. Most wouldn't.
Right.
But that's because of the lack of testable evidence.
That's true. It's tough to.
And when you're a scientist, that's what you want.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what you need. That's like literally what science is. And that's why I think that they're going to go hand in hand eventually. And love that these like instruments are being developed to capture paranormal evidence.
Yeah. Okay. So you are kind of, you could go either way.
No, I just don't think that it's, I think they're all different things. I think that experiencing sleep paralysis and even having panic and trying to assign the panic to some sort of monster holding you down is a thing in of itself.
Okay. So separate things then.
Yes.
Okay.
And then I think
cool.
The shadow people can trigger symptoms like sleep paralysis and are a different thing.
Interesting.
And
I
that
like that.
And that's like the Hat Man. I think that shadows moving about your house or walking across the street in the middle of the night are spirits.
Mm-hmm.
And we just don't perceive them as full. They don't have a corporeal form. So it's they're a mist or a shadow. Or we catch the movement alone in the corner of our eye. And that's just a ghost moving through the room.
Yeah.
So I think that they're all just different.
Okay. That's cool. I like that.
And I think what we would want to figure out if we're doing an either or scenario is, are the shadow people coming into the rooms demonic entities or some sort of dark entity, or are they the interdimensional, extra dimensional beings?
Yeah. I mean,
that's the either or. I don't think it's science or shadow people or shadow people or ghosts. I think
that just goes back to
which ones are those are the ones that are holding someone down and taking from them in the middle of the night.
That's the, you know, the age-old thing of just the lack of language to accurately describe what's going on. Just like, you know, throughout the history books, they describe fiery birds descending from the heavens, and they're, you know, it sounds like they're talking about UFOs, but they just don't understand how to, like...
Why are they fiery?
I don't know. They're always fire.
Sure, they're
like chariots
about
of fire.
Like asteroids?
That could be,
meteors.
Too. But then, you know, it's always like, yeah, and then the lizard people come out of it.
Oh.
Kind of thing.
Oh, okay. You're getting into ancient aliens stuff.
But
okay.
They describe it that way because they don't have the words to say that's a flying saucer or, you know, it's an aircraft. We have aircraft in the sky every day.
Right, so
you
now
know?
They're just unidentified craft.
Yeah. So, you know, maybe one day we'll get to the point where we can be like, oh, shadow people, well, that's XYZ. And, you know, back in 2021, we just didn't have the correct language to describe exactly what that was. At any rate, they certainly seem to be malicious.
Are they, though? So these people are panicking and reacting.
Mm-hmm.
But then what? I wonder what kind of state they're in later. Like, what are they? Are they actually missing something?
Maybe if there's side effects.
Maybe they're just afraid of them, but it's a perfectly normal scenario that's like not harmful in any way.
Right.
Maybe there's something positive related to it, but you're afraid.
No, I guess. I mean,
maybe they're healing them in some way if it's extra dimensional or just gathering general information on this person.
Right.
Which it could be like. That doesn't have to be sinister, I mean.
Yeah.
That they're just afraid. Because then what happens? Like, these people don't disappear. They're not hurt. They are, you know, there's trauma related if they're scared enough. So I guess. And there are some people who this reoccurs regularly.
Yeah.
So that would be pretty traumatic. And in turn, just make the experience sinister and yeah. negative in its own way, but...
Yeah. Well, I think that kind of puts a nice little button on that conversation.
Okay.
Do you have a fear of fright?
I really do not.
I super do.
Okay, good.
Okay. So, fear of fright. I don't actually know if you've seen this movie. Maybe you have. I am recommending the 1996 film The Frighteners, starring Michael J. Fox. This movie is relevant because there are shadow people in it.
Mm-hmm.
So the basic rundown of this movie came out in 1996, directed by Peter Jackson.
Oh.
Which is kind of rad. Explains why it's so freaking good. Michael J. Fox plays Frank Bannister, who was in a car accident. And when he regained consciousness after being in the hospital for some time, he could see spirits. And so he kind of poses as a paranormal investigator slash spirit eliminator. But he's really kind of a scam artist who uses his two ghost friends to, like, haunt people. And then he goes and exorcises their homes. It's pretty good. It's funny, and it's actually really scary, too. Like, the special effects are great. The shadow people are terrifying. And it's Michael J. Fox doing Michael J. Fox stuff. So it's super good.
Awesome.
Have you seen it? I don't know if you've actually seen that or not.
I can picture, like, the main, like, the cover art, I
guess. Yeah, the cover art's scary. It's like a white, I don't know, like a white background, but then there's a skull face, like, pressed through it. Yeah, there's a
figure pushing through.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can picture that, but I can't remember the film, actually, so we should watch it.
Yeah, it's time for a rewatch, then.
Great.
I guess that wraps it up, then. That was just a short and sweet one. For a fright, I mean, the episode was probably a good length.
Probably. We'll see how it turns
out. We'll see. We'll fix it in post. we want to thank you guys for sticking with us. We know we took a little bit of a break there, but life got a little crazy and we were super busy. So we're happy to be back on paranormal.
We didn't want to force anything. We wanted to come back authentically able to offer you guys some good stuff instead of feeling that pressure of getting something out.
Yeah, totally.
So, we're happy to be back in the swing of it, though. We've got some great ideas for upcoming episodes, and we hope you have had a frightful time with us on this episode of Fright Life, a paranormal podcast.
And as always, if you have any spooky stories, if you've seen a shadow person or experienced sleep paralysis, we'd love to hear from you. You can reach out to us at frightlifeparanormal@gmail.com or on the social medias at frightlifeparanormal. Thanks for listening. We'll see you guys next time.